Paris Saint-Germain and Borussia Dortmund will contest a semi-final after one of the most exciting nights in Champions League history. The French champions from 4-2 behind on aggregate defeat Barcelona in remarkable fashion, while Dortmund, heading out twice, have seen off Atletico to win 5-4 on aggregate. Where to start? We'll try our best to work out exactly what just happened in the UEFA Champions League. You can hear the Paris Saint-Germain players on the pitch now in Barcelona, celebrating one of their greatest European nights. Chris Parrott and Phil Black on commentary with me. Phil, what a performance from Paris Saint-Germain.
Absolutely brilliant. Right from the first whistle, they took this game to Barcelona. Their belief never wavered after the defeat that they suffered at home at the Parc des Princes last week. Luis Enrique had said they would win, and for the first time in their history, after losing the first leg at home, they would go through in a knockout tie in UEFA competition. They have done just that, and they did so after falling further behind, of course, with that early Barcelona goal. It still did not deter Paris from this incredibly positive performance that they put in, which has ultimately yielded progress through to the semi-finals, fueling dreams of going yet further, because this is a team that is really coming together and getting stronger and stronger, I think, as this competition goes on.
And right in front of the couple of thousand Paris Saint-Germain fans in the top tier, they are all below them. The collective strength of this Paris Saint-Germain football club at the moment, very clear to see. Four unanswered goals away from home. A performance really for the ages. And at the other end of the pitch, it almost feels a bit like a final. Barcelona players a little stunned, walking off, having believed, I'm sure, when Rafinha scored after 12 minutes that a place in the last four was theirs. But that was memorable stuff from Paris Saint-Germain. And if they weren't one of the most talked about favourite clubs when this season kicked off, for once, they definitely are now. They have a place in the last four.
Barcelona players out there in tears right now. They had been dreaming of their semi-final spot. There are tears of joy in Dortmund, where they have Mike Schuhl in equally dramatic fashion reached the last four for the first time since 2013.
The Borussia Dortmund fans are leaving the BVB Stadium, well, with what some memories for the future. What a remarkable night of football. They started it out of the semi-finals. In other words, they were 2-1 down going into this second leg. Then they were through, then they were out, and then they were through. And that's how it ended. But it was a pulsating game from start to finish. We had two clear chances in the opening 5 minutes before the goals, and eventually Dortmund held out on what was a fantastic evening of UEFA Champions League football. 4-2 on the night to Dortmund, 5-4 on aggregate.
Extraordinary. You can see Luis Enrique, by the way, heading down the tunnel in Barcelona, blowing kisses up to the stands as his Paris Saint-Germain side have completed what I think you call, Chris, their own mini remontada.
It really was, because, OK, they were only two goals behind on aggregate, but it felt like a real mountain. They'd started the game the better of the two teams. It could have been a psychological and mental blow to concede that goal, but they never wavered from the belief that Phil mentioned from Luis Enrique. The words of enthusiasm that, yeah, we will do it. And they seemed to keep that belief. And what was really impressive is that Ronald Araujo saw red, but the Paris intensity only stepped up from that moment. They didn't sit back and think, OK, we're against 10 now, we can be a bit more patient. They went for the kill, and they were magnificent.
So let's remind you of how this one unfolded in Barcelona. A reminder, going into the game, the Spanish champions had a 3-2 lead to defend in the tie. But as always, when they meet Paris Saint-Germain in this competition, drama follows, and so it proved tonight.
Nuno Mendes goes to try and close him down. Yamal gets beyond him to the byline and plays in a brilliant ball for Rafinha to touch in the opening goal for Barcelona. Here goes Barcola now, foot race with Araujo, who steps across, brings him down. Where did he bring him down? Just outside the area, I think, but it will be a red card. A Oh, and that could be a game changer.
Yeah, this could be absolutely key, couldn't it? The check is over. Araujo is off.
Look at him, his first time, Mbappe in the middle. He couldn't get there, but Dembele does as it comes through for Ousmane Dembele to thump it in. Here's Vitinha to have a hit. Oh, brilliant goal. It's a thumping finish, right-footed across the keeper and in. And Paris Saint-Germain have turned this around on the night, and they're back on terms on aggregate.
Once more, it comes from Paris being inventive, thinking quickly.
He finds Dembele right side of the box. The challenge comes in from João Cancelo, and the referee's given the penalty.
It's been a long wait for Kylian Mbappe, shouldering the responsibility, as he was always expected to do. Here he comes. It's a slow run-up. It's a powerful penalty, and Paris Saint-Germain lead on aggregate. 5-4 in front in the quarter-final.
Plays the pass here for Mbappe, and the shot is saved by Ter Stegen, as is the follow-up from Kolo Muani. Mbappe and in! And that will surely do it. Kylian Mbappe has the final say, surely, in this astonishing quarter-final.
Surely now one step away from a Wembley final. And this has been a performance of serious class from the French champions.
OK, so that's how the goals went in. That's how the night unfolded. That's how Paris Saint-Germain ripped grip away from Barcelona on a night where they welcomed back Pedri into their starting 11 for the first time in 5 or 6 weeks. Paris Saint-Germain made the changes that we kind of expected given the way the match unfolded 6 days prior, with Hakimi back from suspension as well. And it's worth remembering, Phil, that Paris Saint-Germain started the better, plain and simple.
They did, right from the start. They were taking the game to Barcelona. They were imposing their attacking play. I mean, it's easy to look at the red card and say that change matters. But prior to that, Paris were the team on top attacking, even though they were the ones that fell behind. You have to give them real credit for the way that they responded to that Rafinha goal, because it could have been such a crushing blow in the context of the tie, to go two behind on aggregate, having started so well. And yet they refused to be knocked out of their stride. They had that belief and the mentality that what they were doing was the way to go about it, the way to win it. They stuck strong to that belief, to that approach, and they reaped their rewards from it. And equally, you could say after the red card, it made it more difficult for Barcelona. Of course it did, but yet they still had chances as well. And when they fell behind on aggregate, they had their moments. There was a big save, some heroic defending from Marquinhos. Barcelona were the team later on that dug deep as well and gave absolutely everything in what was a compelling quarter-final. So to produce this performance for Paris Saint-Germain under Luis Enrique at this stage of the competition, to prove their credentials, having lost at home in the first leg, having gone behind, trailed by two on aggregate, to do what they did in the manner that they did it, it's an astonishing performance, and it has to be up there with some of their greatest nights in this competition.
I haven't reached the semi-finals that often. This has been the elusive title they've always wanted, and in that first half, Rafinha's goal after brilliant work from Lamine Yamal, the red card on 29 minutes, clearly a major turning point. 16-year-old Yamal was the player who was the victim of circumstance and had to come off. But Paris were finding holes and finding space. And in particular, the switch of play out to Barcola on the left-hand side was, you know, it was where the equaliser for Dembele arrived from. But consistently in that first half, that was where they were getting joy. And he was, you know, he wasn't one of the three Paris goal scorers, but I thought his performance, Bradley Barcola, who was magnificent when he came on at half-time in the first leg, was brilliant. It's another player who's only just turned 21. Paris have some serious young talents, and they really came of age with a terrific attacking, aggressive performance.
How decisive was the red card? Do we think Paris Saint-Germain would have turned it around without it?
Maybe, but you have to say that it was absolutely the correct call. Again, it was down that left-hand side. It was Barcola who got beyond.
Brilliant play, yeah.
Brilliant play. Yeah. Araujo quite clearly fouls him. He managed to just avoid giving away the penalty on the edge of the box, but you know, Barcelona pointed to Pau Cubarsí, but Barcola was the last man. He would have got a shot away with only the goalkeeper to beat. Referee made exactly the right call. And Araujo's dismissal, he's such a key part of the Barcelona defence. He is the senior man at the heart of the defence with Cubarsí. He's the guy that wins those thunderous challenges and pops up from nowhere with the blocks, and they missed his presence. Of course, they missed the fact that they then had one man less, but Paris, great credit, they exploited that magnificently. How often do we see in big games? Actually, 10 players can make it very, very difficult, but Paris never looked like they were going to look back, really, from that red card.
And they were giving Araujo and the entire Barcelona backline all sorts of problems even before that red card, weren't they? And the fact that Barcola was bearing down on goal, I think, illustrated that the spaces that they were finding, the positions that they were putting themselves in. And as I mentioned, even before the red, they were the team taking the game to Barcelona. So obviously the sending off aided their cause, but it didn't, I feel, necessarily alter the pattern of the game. And Barcelona, with 10, particularly late on, as they had to push players forward, had chances of their own as well. They weren't simply just getting everyone back defending, even when they had that slender aggregate lead, which was still the case going into the second half of the second leg. But such was the mood that Paris arrived in, I think such was the level of performance that they reached. There's every chance that even without that sending off, they could have turned this tie around, and they certainly capitalised in ruthless fashion, really impressive fashion, and everyone played their part. That's what stood out for me, was the collective nature of the performance. Yes, Mbappe got the two goals in the end, one from the spot and then the one that wrapped it up late on in the last minute of the 90, and we'll take some of the headlines, but this was a night where he played his part. It was a big pressure penalty and he took it really well, and he was in the right place to score as the ball fell to him a little favourably, maybe right at the end, but there were so many others that contributed. In fact, Mbappe maybe didn't influence this tie as much as he often does, but there were others like Barcola, as Chris has mentioned, like Dembele, who stepped up, and there were threats all over the field, and that's what bodes so well, I think, going forward for Luis Enrique.
And credit too, I think, to the slight shift, or probably bigger shift, in terms of some of the recruitment. They don't necessarily now sign massive household names like Neymar or Messi. You know, how good was Vitinha, who was signed from Porto, Barcola, who we've mentioned, and I think Luis Enrique, the collective will to win and spirit that he has quite clearly fostered amongst these players is very, very impressive. Of course, he led Barcelona to their last title in 2015. And the way he speaks, and you feel like he takes pressure off his players. It was obvious tonight. They were going to go out there and they were going to try and enjoy themselves in this big game. They were full of belief. And it feels like a really good match with this group and that coach. And what they will take from this performance, and some of the first leg performance, if they didn't have the belief, which I think they did anyway, that they're a very, very good side, you know, they'll watch this back, they'll monitor the clips, and they will realise that this was a very, very special performance. And now, you know, as we mentioned, they're one step away from a final, and who knows, maybe that elusive first European title.
With any game this late in the competition, there are so many subplots. One would be the return of Ousmane Dembele tonight. 185 appearances for Barcelona in 6 years, 40 goals, 43 assists. And tonight, Chris, he's walked away with the Player of the Match award.
He was magnificent. In that first half, his goal was a really good finish. And, you know, had they not scored before half-time, when Xavi would have had 15 minutes with them still two goals ahead on aggregate, it might have been a much more difficult second half, but it was a brilliant finish. It came at him really, really quickly and he lashed it into the back of the net, but he kept it down. But he was, as Phil mentioned, he was much more of a threat actually than Kylian Mbappe was. He was the player who was finding the space, playing those switches to Barcola, and he was playing like someone who maybe had a bit of a point to prove. I think he enjoyed the reception that he got from the Barcelona supporters.
Fired him up a bit, maybe.
Fired him up a little bit. Yeah. And he was that match winner that we've seen throughout his career he can be. And he certainly put it together. He got a big goal in the first leg, and it was a deserved man of the match performance in the second.
OK, more on this game to come. We could talk about it all night. Phil, the final score, just remind me again how this... Even you're having to check.
4-1 on the night. It is astonishing in itself, isn't it? 4-1 on the night to Paris Saint-Germain. 6-4 on aggregate.
Absolutely amazing. OK, let's switch things up and go to the other game from Tuesday night action.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
You're listening to Match Day Live. So after the first leg in Spain, it was the Visitors Atleti who headed to Borussia Dortmund with a 2-1 advantage in the tie. Could the hosts turn the quarter-final around?
Outside of the right boot, lovely ball forward for Brandt inside the area. Julian Brandt shoots, and Oblak cannot keep it out. He gets a hand to it, but it bounces into the back of the net. Sancho, left edge of the penalty area. Mattsson, tight angle, but he's found the far corner with a fantastic finish, and Dortmund have scored again. 2 goals in 5 minutes. Griezmann with the outswinging corner, deep to the far post. Hermoso heads it down towards goal. Oh, and it's been deflected past his own goalkeeper by Mats Hummels. 3.5 minutes into the second half, and Atleti have tied it all up again. Here's Raquel May, saved by Oblak. Correa with the rebound, and on the second attempt, Angel Correa drives it in off the underside of the crossbar. Forward by Brandt to the left edge of the area. Sabitzer with the early cross. Oh, it's a brilliant glancing header by Niklas Füllkrug. Another goal in Germany. And another twist in the tail. When is this going to end? Over the top by Dortmund. Brandt brings it down. It's sent towards goal. Now Sabitzer, room to shoot. Marcel Sabitzer has scored for Dortmund. 2 goals in 3 minutes. It's absolute bedlam at the BVB Stadion. 4-2 Dortmund lead on the night. 5-4 on aggregate.
Incredible drama in the west of Germany that sees Borussia Dortmund into their first semi-final in more than a decade. They remain unbeaten in their last 10 home matches in the Champions League, a new record for the club in the competition. But, Mike, I don't think anyone expected them to maintain that record in such a fashion.
No, I've just come back from a lie down, actually, and some oxygen after that game. It was a remarkable match like yours, and they started it, as you said, 2-1 down from the first leg. We could have had goals in the opening 5 minutes from either team. Clear-cut chances for Sabitzer, who was denied by Azpilicueta's block, and Morata, who was put through but then shot wide of goal. And then Dortmund took a grip on the game, and in the 34th minute, you heard there, Mats Hummels outside of the right boot, over the top for Julian Brandt, who worked his way to an angle and just fired in. It was such a powerful low shot that Oblak couldn't keep it out. And then Mattsson came up with a second goal, and suddenly the tie was in Dortmund's favour going into half-time. But then you saw the triple substitution from Diego Simeone, where one of those players, Morata, came off, and on came the likes of Riquelme, and then Barrios, and also Correa. And within 4 minutes, the tie was level again. Hermoso's header, Hummels stuck out a left boot, diverted it past his own goalkeeper, Kobel. And not only that, within another 15 or 16 minutes, Atletico were leading the tie because Correa didn't give up on it and at the second attempt fired into the roof of the net. But Dortmund weren't to be outdone. It was their night. It was going to be their night from the very start. And in the space of 3 minutes, Marcel Sabitzer drove them forward. A brilliant cross for Füllkrug. And then he himself found space and fired right through a crowd of players to beat Oblak at his left-hand post. It was an astonishing game. If there'd been another 20 minutes or so, who's to say that Atleti wouldn't have gone through? Because it was going backwards and forwards. And at one point, certainly even when Sabitzer scored, you just thought, I still wouldn't rule Atleti out of this, because they kept going to try and get themselves level again. But what a night for the Dortmund fans. They've waited 11 years for this, to get back to the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League. That was the year they eventually lost to Bayern München.
I saw so many German football experts and journalists say, say openly in the media this week, I have no idea what to expect with Dortmund. They just won away at Bayern, remember, in the Bundesliga, but have lost other games. It's been an up-and-down season, but an exceptional night. Let's hear from two of their key men, the UEFA Player of the Match, Julian Brandt, but first, the scorer of Dortmund's third goal, Niklas Füllkrug.
I think now it was a very spectacular game today, but also in Madrid we gave them too many options to score a goal at first in the first minutes. This was not good from us, but today we was more clinical. We overplayed them, we played a little bit easier, and we won our duels, and I think that's why we won the game.
It was, you know, a lot of fun. If you win, it's always fun. Even with these boys to celebrate after the game, and of course we score a lot of goals, but we concede too, and that's what we have to do better in the next game.
Yeah, Niklas Füllkrug and Julian Brandt speaking after a dramatic game. What did that say to you, Mike, about Borussia Dortmund and where this team are right now, that performance?
Well, it's just, they're coming on strong, aren't they? And I would imagine that the teams above them in the Bundesliga, particularly Leipzig, will be worried after watching that. There's such determination there. And to think that they've got past Atletico, having been outplayed in the first half of the first leg, to turn it around. And I wouldn't fancy having to go to Dortmund in the semi-final like Paris have to do, because that's going to be a daunting task. The crowd were incredible from the very off, and the players' determination was visible from the start of the game. And yeah, even though they slipped up in the early part of the second half, like Füllkrug said, they were clinical, they wanted it more in the end, and they had what it took.
It's only the fourth time they're in the semi-finals. Unbelievable drama in Germany. And it means now that we have this Paris Saint-Germain, Borussia Dortmund semi-final. Phil, let's bring in Phil and Chris to discussion here with Mike. Chris, first of all, they've already played each other in the Champions League this season.
Yeah, they were in the same group. And remember, Paris Saint-Germain needed to go through on match day six, whereas Borussia Dortmund topped the section. In saying that, Paris took 4 points off them because Paris won 2-0 at home, and then it was 1-1 on match day six when Paris Saint-Germain could have gone out. That was that amazing group with Milan and Newcastle. So Dortmund topped the section, but Paris in the head-to-heads had the better record. I don't know what that says. The other thing to note, of course, is that Achraf Hakimi and Ousmane Dembele will be going back to Borussia Dortmund, where they have formerly played, and we saw what going back to a former club for Dembele did against Barcelona.
And I think Paris will be going there in such improved form. I mentioned it, I think that they've got stronger and stronger as this season has gone on. There were so many changes last summer. We thought that maybe it would be a transitional season, and the signs in the group stages were potentially that would be the case.
But 8 points.
It's come together so quickly, I think, since then, in these knockout stages, the maturity of performance that they put in the two knockout ties that they've played so far. They had the belief coming to Barcelona, so they will back themselves going to Dortmund as well. But as we've seen in the other tie, that will equally apply on the other side of the fence. It's set up for what should be a super semi-final.
Mike, do you think Borussia Dortmund, Given the frequency of chances they created against Atletico on Tuesday night, do you think they'll be backing themselves to give Paris Saint-Germain a really good semi-final?
Yeah, I suspect they will. They had 9 attempts on goal, and they obviously scored 4 of those goals. They were fairly relentless in their pursuit of goals in the first half, and had they scored that opening one through Sabitzer, who knows where we would have been at the end of this game. But they definitely will feel that they've got what it takes to undo Paris Saint-Germain, and they will, like I said before, I think they'll probably rely quite heavily on the fixture in Dortmund to try and give themselves a foothold.
Okay, so more on this shortly. By the way, the semi-final schedule, so the exact dates of the games, will be confirmed on Thursday, the 18th of April. You can check out UEFA.com and the Champions League app for that. Paris Saint-Germain against Dortmund, one of this year's semi-finals. The final four lineup will be completed tomorrow, and you won't miss a thing thanks to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live and the official Champions League podcast.
If last week's first legs are anything to go by, then you don't want to miss the final night of the quarterfinals.
Now go Real Madrid up the other end. They've completely caught out the City defence. And it's gone beyond Ortega and in.
Saka shoots. What a finish. Arsenal star boy curls it beyond Manuel Neuer.
Square to Guardiola, who's had a hit. Oh, it's another stunner. I do not believe it.
Through towards Gnabry. He's scored. Serge Gnabry, against his old club, has equalised for Bayern.
There were 10 goals across the two matches involving Real Madrid, Manchester City, Arsenal and Bayern. Our commentary game tomorrow comes from England. The champions and the record winners are locked at 3-3.
Picks it up and plays it across. Oh, how about that for a leveller? That is a stunner from Valverde. We have been treated to some really special strikes this evening.
Pep Guardiola and his opposite number, Carlo Ancelotti, know all about winning this competition. Both are confident they can make it through.
Yeah, 3-3, we take it. We have to win a game. To qualify for semi-final.
We have the game in Manchester. I think from our side we are satisfied for what we did and we hope to repeat.
Kickoff is at 2100 CET and we'll have an extended interview with Antonio Rudiger before the game in Manchester. Regular updates on the show from the match in Munich 2. It's 2-2 there.
Here's Jesus inside the area. Great twisting, turning, Trossard! Rolls it into the bottom corner! It's 2-2!
Bayern's draw in London saw them fall behind, lead, and then concede to that Leandro Trossard strike. Mikel Arteta and Thomas Tuchel both took positives from the first leg.
I have a lot of belief that we can go there and beat them, and we have to prepare really well.
We hope we can create the same atmosphere, play this with the same intensity and passion like today, to create the same atmosphere in our stadium and push things in our direction.
So a wonderful night is in store in 24 hours' time as we find out our final two semi-finalists. Matchday Live will be on air from 2000 CEST. It should be a cracker.
Richard Kaufman reporting there. So let's look at Bayern Arsenal. Gnabry and Sané have picked up injuries since the first leg in North London. Manuel Neuer rested at the weekend but fit to play despite a slight muscle issue. We saw maybe problems to Saka and Odegaard at the weekend, but both have been confirmed as fit by Mikel Arteta. Kai Havertz rumoured to be starting up front. Chris, how are you feeling about this one? Because both Bayern, Bayern knew that they weren't going to be champions, but Arsenal in particular had a blow at the weekend in the Premier League.
Yeah, I quite like what Mikel Arteta said in his pre-match press conference today. It was almost it was saying to his players, right, this is the moment that you have to stand up and be counted. And, he could have not taken that question and gone in a different way, but clearly he thinks that's the motivation that they need. And it might not, in one sense, you think, well, Bayern will have watched that games and maybe seen some vulnerabilities that Aston Villa exploited, but also it might also give that extra something for Arsenal going into this game. And, they've lost very few games this season. First leg was brilliant. Arsenal came out. Bayern almost seemed to suit them, not necessarily having to be the team who direct tempo and... You know, it allowed them on the break to look really dangerous. At home, we'll see whether that's a similar thing. And, of course, Arsenal haven't reached the semi-finals very often in their club history. So it's an enormous night.
For Real Madrid, Tchouaméni suspended, scored at the weekend. In fact, Aurelien Tchouaméni. Camavinga looks like he'll start. Ancelotti almost admitted in the press conference. We'll see who plays at centre-back. If they put a midfielder in there, will it be Nacho Militao back after 7 months out? For Manchester City, Kyle Walker available, fit to start. Pep Guardiola not sure, he said in his press conference, Chris. So
he's sure, but he's not going to tell anybody.
Oh, that's it, right.
I mean, if he were to be, it would be a major boost, because we saw Vinicius Junior and Rodrigo in the first leg, how they targeted that right-back area. Walker was one of the best players in both legs of the semi-finals. And this is really interesting because, you know, Real Madrid and knocked out of the Champions League last season with a heavy loss. Kind of a changing of the guard moment, given that City went on to win their first title. This is their first opportunity to hit back, to knock out one of their direct competitors. And I still think, despite what we've seen on this Champions League Tuesday, that the winner of that tie will be the favourite heading into the semi-finals.
Let's hear from a couple of English stars looking to make big impacts against English opposition. Both have been speaking on Tuesday afternoon. In a moment, Bayern's Harry Kane, but first, Real Madrid's Jude Bellingham.
The team has to win, the team has to play well, and if I can contribute to that and add to that, then that would be brilliant. But yeah, that's the main focus for me. I want to try and, you know, be effective, have a good impact on the game, and work hard, help the team defensively, offensively. And yeah, the most important thing is that we get through to the next round, and it'll be difficult, it'll be a tough game, but we've got to be prepared for that. And, you know, we're a great team in our own right, and I think that we have to show our qualities and be brave, and hopefully we can do that.
There is an expectation, and I think if you look at our performances this year, there's been a different type of performance in the Champions League. I feel like we've been maybe together more. We've been willing to do more on the pitch, defensively and in other aspects. So yeah, it's a time to raise our game. It's a time for, you know, me and the players who have been in big situations, pressure situations, to step up and be counted.
One exciting night it will be on Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Let's switch things back to Tuesday where it finished. Barcelona 1, Paris Saint-Germain 4 on the night, 6-4 on aggregate. Borussia Dortmund 4, Atletico 2, 5-4 on aggregate. It's worth noting throughout the course of the evening, I had it as started the day as a Barca-Atletico semi-final, then Barca versus either Atletico Dortmund. Barca-Dortmund, Barca versus Atletico or Dortmund, Barca or Paris Saint-Germain against Atletico versus or Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain versus Atletico Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain, Atletico, Paris Saint-Germain, Atletico Dortmund, and then Paris Saint-Germain Dortmund. So it switched nine times. Sorry if that was a boring listen, but no. just to illustrate how wild it got.
And what was that, all in the space of 90 minutes?
It was 90 minutes from 9 p.m. to half wow. 10. So look, let's have a bit of a debate now then. Phil, you're going to put forward the case that Paris Saint-Germain are going to reach the final and Mike can do Dortmund. So you first, Phil.
I genuinely think that they will. I think they have such momentum behind them now. They're finding their form. They're chasing a trophy treble. They're 10 points clear at the top of Ligue 1. They're through to a cup final against Lyon. And they showed their maturity in this performance. I think they showed how much they've improved since the group stages. And they've come to Barcelona, having lost at home in the first leg and won 4-1. Back-to-back 4-1 wins at Barcelona since that 6-1 defeat. And a very different team, a much younger team, I think, from the one that that won here 3 years ago, even though Mbappe was amongst the goals. Maybe not quite so reliant on him now. I think there were so many key performers in what was an impressive collective display from Paris. They really do look in the mood, I think, to go even further.
Well, we don't know which way round the legs are going to be, so it's quite hard to tell how it's going to start out. But my feeling is that given that Paris were beaten by Barcelona at home, I think that will give Dortmund hope, especially the fact that they also managed to repel Atletico, despite the fact they were under the cosh for the first half of the first leg. And then being at home, I think, is going to be the key thing for Dortmund. I would point back to a game that involved Paris Saint-Germain near the start of the season, away at Newcastle. And if Dortmund can have that kind of backing, which we know they can, it's a bigger stadium, there's more fans than at Newcastle, but if they can adopt a similar approach like they did tonight in the game against Paris at home, I think they might have too much for them.
Oh, Chris, you get the deciding vote then. Who's
really?
We can wait for the teams to play, but who do you think is going through based on those two arguments?
I think it will be Paris Saint-Germain. Kylian Mbappe has more than 40 goals this season now. I just think over the two legs, that collective spirit that they had, as well as the obvious quality that they've always had, I think will shine through. So I'm going to go Paris. What is going to be interesting is now the change in narrative, which I think will happen. Dortmund, for me, will be considered underdogs. For the first time this season, Paris fans, all the talk will be about that first Champions League because they've played so well. They deserve to be in that conversation. How that switches mentality. I think Luis Enrique will love it. That's the way he is. He's an infectious guy. You can see that imprint on his team. But that is going to be interesting. But I would back Paris Saint-Germain to be heading to Wembley.
OK, the last word then from the Paris Saint-Germain camp after an unforgettable night. Here's their midfielder and goal scorer, Vitinha.
We entered the game losing with the goal of Barcelona, and it's difficult to know we are two goals behind in an away stadium with the highly motivated team the other side. It's really difficult, but we keep our composure. we kept our composure, and I think that was the key. Our head was calm. We knew what we had to do. We stayed. We respected our way of play. We continued the same way. And with the red card, it was easier for us. Not easier, but the things, it were better for us. And then we searched for the first goal. We searched for the second, third, fourth. It was incredible what we did here today. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to talk about it because it was a really incredible match. And we truly deserve to be on the semi-final.
Could turn into a credible season for them. They're well top in Liga. They have the cup final to come. And they are one of our two first semi-finalists with Borussia Dortmund. Who will join them? We don't have to wait long to find out. Matchday Live is back on Wednesday night. In the evening is Manchester City host Real Madrid and Bayern welcome Arsenal with both second legs fascinatingly poised, and you won't want to miss them. And this podcast will be available shortly after full time. So make sure to subscribe and download via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.